gospel is recorded in the ninth chapter of St. Mark, beginning at verse 14.
When they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and some experts in the law were arguing with them. As soon as all the people in the crowd saw Jesus, they were very excited and ran to greet him. He asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" One man from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a spirit that makes him unable to speak. Wherever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive it out, but they could not." "O unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long will I be with you? How long will I put up with you? Bring him to me." They brought the boy to Jesus. As soon as the spirit saw him, it threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell on the ground and rolled around foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has this been happening to him?" "From childhood," he said. "It has often thrown him into the fire and into the water to kill him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." "If you can," Jesus said to him, "all things are possible for the one who believes." The child's father immediately cried out and said with tears, "I do believe. Help me with my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was quickly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit. "You mute and deaf spirit," he said, "I command you to come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit screamed, shook the boy violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many of them said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, raised him up, and he stood up. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Here again, the gospel lesson, Mark chapter 9. I'll just read verse 24 again. The child's father immediately cried out and said with tears, "I do believe. Help me with my unbelief." This is the word of our God, and so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, Jesus was at the highest heights, not just figuratively, literally. He had just come down from the Mount of Transfiguration. And you remember what that was like. It was a literal height with those disciples, Peter, James, and John. But it was also a figurative height for Jesus. All of the glory as the Almighty Lord of heaven and earth, he was. And it shone so that the disciples could see it. And he met with Moses and Elijah. There, Jesus at his highest. You remember that scene well. What was happening down below as this was taking place? Well, this text before us today, down below the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus' other nine disciples were struggling and fighting, and they were losing. They were being defeated, overcome in the midst of turmoil. Just the opposite of what it was for Peter, James, and John and Jesus. And so what did Jesus do? What did he know he have to do? He had to come down and fight. We see that in our text for today, how he does that for us as well. Jesus fights for us in our weakness against spiritual forces that try to control us and against unbelief even within us. Those were the kinds of things that were happening down in the plain as Jesus came down. Our text tells us, when they returned to the other disciples, that helps us understand that scene. When they came to the other disciples, Jesus with Peter, James, and John were in the glory. in that cloud of transfiguration and what was happening down below at that very same time. They saw a large crowd around them, and some experts in the law were arguing with them. As soon as all the people in the crowd saw Jesus, they were very excited and ran to greet them. He asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" One man from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a spirit that makes him unable to speak. Wherever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive it out, but they could not. I asked your disciples to help, but they couldn't." Do you realize how defeating that would be? Jesus had equipped them. In fact, they had even accomplished these things before. Why not now? Because we are weak. Because we are frail. Because we have limitations. Those disciples too, they were weak in their battle against the spiritual forces of evil that were trying to control this boy, that were very effective in making this boy do whatever they wanted him to do. And they were losing the battle. And they couldn't help. And for that boy, look how Satan was controlling him, making him do such awful things, foaming at the mouth, becoming rigid, clenched teeth, and what's more, repeatedly, the boy's father had to experience these episodes of Satan's control over this boy again and again, rescuing him from drowning from water, saving him from the fire. What an awful existence for that man. How traumatic and regularly that trauma he experienced fighting these battles against Satan. And the man was pleading, "Please, if you can, anything, anything to help." Do you feel that way in your battles against Satan? Why do I keep falling prey to his tricks? And he's relentless in leading me astray. And I'm so weak. I know the right, but I keep doing the wrong. And it's traumatic for us in the battle against Satan and his evil forces and his temptations every day too. And we lose so often. And it feels like far more we lose than we win, because those victories, they seem so short, even when we overcome temptation. But the guilt of the losses, those stick with us. And then every memory of any victory that we had quickly disappears as in the heat of the fierce of another battle that comes raging right along as Satan is relentless against us, and we're so weak. And understand how Satan tries to control you too. He tries to get you to do things that you know that you shouldn't do. Force you to go places that you know you shouldn't go. Get you down paths of thinking that you know you shouldn't explore. Blurt out expressions that you know that you shouldn't say. It's like you're not in control. What a dreadful battle against Satan all the time, and we are weak and we are losing. And that's why Jesus comes down the mountain. That's why Jesus descends to fight for us in our weakness against those spiritual forces that try to control us. "Bring the child to me," Jesus said. They brought the boy to Jesus. As soon as the spirit saw him, it threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell on the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. When Jesus saw that a crowd was quickly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit. "You mute and deaf spirit," he said, "I command you to come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit screamed, shook the boy violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many of them said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, raised him up, and he stood up. Look at Satan. When Jesus fights him, there's nothing that he can do. Rage and fight as mightily as he may try, he can do nothing. He's absolutely powerless but to obey the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. At Jesus' rebuke, he must stop. At the command, he must obey. And look at the completeness of the power of God over Satan. This spirit would never plague this boy again because Jesus commanded it. That's why he has come, to fight for us in our weakness and overcome our enemies when we so often fail. He's fought for you too. He's driven Satan out of your life. Satan cannot condemn you. And that victory over Satan is complete. You know that you have peace with God in his forgiveness. Satan cannot accuse you any longer, nor can he control you in your life, because you're guided by another spirit. And that's God's Holy Spirit, which he has placed in you, and his powerful word that works in you. What an exorcism is going to take place later this morning at another baptism. God, with his powerful word, speaks, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And God's Holy Spirit takes control of that child, and that child belongs to God forever. And that's complete and full forgiveness and peace with God for all eternity. Satan has no claim on that child, no power over her, no control over her. And he's done that for each of you too in your baptisms. What a warrior you have in Jesus fighting for you. So what do you do in the face of temptations that Satan brings? Sing that beautiful baptism hymn. God's own child, I gladly say it. I am baptized into Christ. You can't control me, Satan. You can't tempt me. You can't lead me down a path I shouldn't go, thinking things I shouldn't think, saying things I shouldn't say. I'm a child of paradise. It's easy to say, isn't it? It's harder to live. And we see that in our text too. There was another battle raging and happening beneath the surface. And it happens for us too, especially troubling. Because we have these powerful words of Jesus and these amazing promises. And even more so, we have the wonderful works of Jesus, who has gone to fight for us and conquer Satan forever for us. But still there's this problem. We saw it in the people that were gathering around that saw this commotion in this crowd. Even in the religious leaders, especially, that were arguing with Jesus' disciples. But you see it even in the disciples themselves and the boy's father. And we see it in us too. Unbelief. God makes great promises. He performs amazing works. But when we don't believe, we rob ourselves of the great comfort of these promises and the sure victory that these promises have provided. Why couldn't these disciples help this boy? Because they didn't believe Jesus' promise that they had the power to help. Jesus had equipped them. He had promised that they would do these amazing things, but in their unbelief, they were powerless to help. The man too. He was wrestling with this now. Has Jesus finally met his match too? Has the spirit that's plaguing my boy finally been so great that even Jesus himself and his disciples can't help? Is my problem just too great for Jesus? If you can help Jesus, And then Jesus even acknowledged that in his own frustration, expressing this truth of unbelief even for the entire generation. Oh, unbelieving generation, how long will I put up with you? How long will I be with you? How long indeed? If you can, he had to say to the man, if you can, don't you know who I am? Don't you believe? This is our struggle too. This is our plight. Jesus is still putting up with this unbelieving generation in us today. Because we constantly battle this inside of us. Jesus speaks his word. He gives his promise. And he acts on that promise to save. And then in the heat of the battle, we doubt those promises of God. We are an unbelieving generation. We have that sinful, unbelieving nature inside each of us, constantly denying Jesus' works, constantly rejecting Jesus' promises, constantly directing us away from God's word, and instead toward anything else to follow, anything else to believe, anything else to trust. And it's at times like these that Jesus drives us to despair in ourselves. And we must look to the one who fights our battles for us, even in the weakness of the unbelief that exists inside of us. We must see him fight against our own unbelief. As the man cried perhaps the most beautiful prayer in all of Scripture, let that be our constant prayer as well. In the heat of the battle against unbelief too, turning to Jesus, pleading without hesitation, with tears he cried, I do believe. Help me with my unbelief. Do you see it in you? That unbelief? Recognize it for what it is. It will never be converted. It will always be a part of you. That unbeliever inside of you cannot be changed, cannot be convinced. It must be crucified along with your Savior who was on the cross for you. You can't overcome that one, but someone else did for you. Someone else has already conquered that unbeliever inside of you. Despairing in yourself, turn to Jesus as you say, help me with my unbelief, Jesus. And see how Jesus fights for us in our weakness against the unbelief within us. And he strengthens you. He strengthens you in your faith in the fight as you come to him. You come to him here today as you hear his word to strengthen you in that battle. And look how Jesus fights for you to make you strong again, to fill you up with his word and to remind you of his promises and to show you how he's accomplished that battle for you. And he invites you down because it's not enough just to hear, but you need to taste it again and to see how good the Lord is for you in his body and his blood together with bread and wine for the forgiveness of all of your sins. And there he fights your battles of unbelief for you as he says, I have forgiven you all of your sins. You are at peace with God. Run to Jesus in your weakness to help with your unbelief. Let him lift you up. Let him make you strong again to stand. Let him take you by the hand in word and sacrament. Let him bring you back from death to life again and again. Yes, this is why Jesus comes down from the heights. He comes to help us in our weakness. See him today fight for you against the spiritual forces that are trying to control your life and against that unbelief that's inside of you. See him win that victory for you. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.